Amen. God, you are good. Let's give God a great hand of applause for his goodness. You're welcome to have a seat. Thank you to our team. Okay, so firstly, before we get into the message, just to the clappers in the house, that was well done. There was a time to clap and there was a time to be quiet, and that was beautiful. That's the way it should be. So we want to encourage you to clap at the right times, and we want to encourage you to be quiet at the right times. Because sometimes in the quietness we hear God, and sometimes we need to be reminded of the fact that we have to be exuberant in praising Him. So, you saw that I brought the pulpit up a song too early, because I'm very excited about this message, and because time is running out. So that is always a big problem if you are excited and time is running out at the same time. For the next season, we are going to be looking at Psalm 23 of all things. And you might know that you know everything that there is in Psalm 23. But I was just amazed when I looked at that in the last season again. And the title for the next series is, I Have All That I Need. And I really want to trust that over the next season, these words would just take root in your heart. And they would jump out whenever you walk and whenever you talk and whenever you engage somewhere, that the words that will come out of your mouth is, I have all that I need. Let me tell you a little bit of a thing. So we were away last week, the week before that actually. We've been back this week for a short break. And it was very easy as I was walking and interacting and doing my things for this thing to be alive in my heart. And I would literally be walking and I would just be resonating wherever I go, these words, I have all that I need. And I had so much faith and it was just so wonderful to walk in that. And then I came back. And then I had to interact with the normalities of life again. And it was a little bit more difficult this week. But I really want to challenge you that you find the time to meditate on these words. I have all that I need. And allow it to sink into your heart and into your spirit and to react from that place. Okay. So, but before we go there, we need to talk about sandwiches for a moment. Okay, so this is your basic, amazing cheese sandwich. Okay, many times that Sunday evening dinner, because you might have had a big lunch, you start up the grill and you have this amazing, this is really a good, perfect actually cheese sandwich. I found this other sandwich. I think this is the one that you tell your wife you had. It's basically a salad on seeds. Okay, I don't know if there's anything else. It's just healthy. There's nothing nutritious or exciting about this sandwich. The one that you actually had is this one. It's called a BLT, a bacon, lettuce, and tomato. I'm going to go back to the cheese sandwich. I actually found a cheese sandwich that will cost you $214. It is the most expensive cheese sandwich, it's actually listed in the Guinness Book of Records as the most expensive sandwich. If you look at it, this one looks better, way better. Then that one. It's this thin, strange little thing. Okay, they've got some special flour that they have for the dough. They actually put champagne in the dough mix as well. There's some gold that they put on it. The butter has been infused with truffles and all sorts of interesting things. And then the cheese comes from cows. Very specific cow in Italy. There's only 25,000 of these cows in the world. And they only produce milk for 2 months of the year. So you have got to book 48 hours in advance if you want to go into this restaurant and order this sandwich. I think this Sunday afternoon or the Sunday evening cheese is much, much better. What's your favorite sandwich? So for me, I like a lightly toasted ciabatta bread. Not too much toast. The toast must just be, bread must just be warm enough so the butter can melt into it. Okay, and then I've got someone who agrees with me. Thank you. Okay, then a nice thin slice of pastrami, cut the right way so you don't chew against the grain. You've got to pick the right piece of meat. My wife makes the most amazing sweet mustard sauce. You actually eat the sandwich just for the sauce. Okay, put lots of that on there. I like these little round, the small tomatoes, the Roman tomatoes, cut them in slices. Put them on, maybe some lettuce just to add some Christmas to that. and then you're off to the races, the most incredible sandwich. Have you ever tried eating all of that without the two pieces of bread? A nice piece of pastrami, this amazing mustard sauce, tomatoes and lettuce. You try and eat that, it will probably run all over the place. Maybe you, when you look down, it will look a little bit like this, and there will be more food on your shirt than there is in your mouth. You see, Psalm 23 is filled with the goodness of God. This last song that we sang, I never thought about it, but this last song that we sang actually is Psalm 23. We sang about the goodness of God, His favor, His kindness, His blessing, His healing. Even when we go through the difficult times, He is there with us. Psalm 23 is filled with amazing, amazing blessings. But if you don't have the sandwich on both sides to keep that thing together, you're going to lose most of it. And sometimes as Christians, we go through life and we say, but God, you give these incredible promises. You declare that we can cry out and we can be excited about the truth that we have all that we need in you. And yet somehow it doesn't work. There's sauce running everywhere. We're dropping tomatoes. Everything is going crazy. What about the promises that you gave us? You see, when we read Psalm 23, we normally look at that inside. And for the next season, that is what we are going to be looking at, the inside. But with I have all that I need, there is something else that you've got to say with that. And that is the Lord, forever. You read Psalm 23, it starts with the Lord. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. And it ends with the Lord, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord, forever. And if you want the favor, if you want the cup that runs over, if you want the provision, if you want the guidance, if you want the comfort in the difficult season, you've got to have the sandwich that brings that together. And that's Jesus. That's God. The Lord, forever. So these two phrases, I really trust that they will resonate in your heart, and we're going to repeat them over the next season, over and over and over. Okay, so let's practice. The first one is, I have all that I need. Okay, let's try that. I have all. You're getting there. Let's try it again. But for me to have everything that I need, it needs to be the Lord. Oh, where it is? Sorry. There we go. The Lord, forever. You tried? Friends, if you can grasp that, then it's done. If you can grasp that, it is done. If the Lord is the beginning and the end of your life, you will have all that you need. That in between, He will sort. And over the next season, we will delve into the detail and the beauty of the promises that God gives. You see, sometimes we start off well with the Lord. That's probably not the group that's sitting here. We knew the Lord and we served the Lord. We were on fire for Him. But somewhere along the line, the other end fell away. And then we come to church and we speak to our Christian friends and we say, but yeah, I don't really know about God. He gives us these promises. It doesn't seem to come true. Fault is not with God but with His promises. The truth is that you started with Him, but you're not ending with Him. Other people try and do it the other way around. They live without the Lord. And their life is chaos, and the food is everywhere, and the sauce is dripping, and nothing is satisfying them. And then maybe on their dying bed, they say, maybe I should turn to God. We've got to be people who say, the Lord, forever. So I looked at a couple of translations. Most well-known one is probably is that there is, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Many of the translations use those words. Some of them say, there is nothing that I lack. The Message Bible says, I don't need a thing. I lack nothing. I shall not want. The New Thomas Living Translation that we will be using, I have all that I need. Again, I shall not want. I will not be without any good thing. I lack nothing. I have everything I need. In the Passion Translation, I have more than enough. Every single one of these translations echo this truth. Some of it is in the a little bit more in the negative, I shall lack nothing. And others make a declaration that I have more than enough. And my life is the Lord, forever. He will put the filling inside. He will fill your life with His favor and with His blessing and with His provision and with His comfort when we go through the difficult seasons. In 1 Peter 1 verse 3, it's one of the verses that I read while we were away. That chapter, by the way, if you want to read a chapter that blows your mind, go read 2 Peter chapter 1. You can just read it and reread it and reread it. It starts off by saying this, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. So for the second time this morning, if you can get that, then we can go home right now. God has given us everything that we need to live a godly life. And we have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who's called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. If we know Jesus, the Lord forever, then we will have everything that we need for life. Some translations say, for life and for godliness, for living a godly life. Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, may He equip you with all you need for doing His will. May He produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to Him, all glory to Him forever and ever. Amen. God does want to fill your cup. God does want your cup to overflow. But He sets the parameters. The Lord, forever. And if we look at the first part of Psalm 23, it talks about Him being our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And because He is my shepherd, I have all that I need. And in the rest of the psalm, he begins to unpack that. What does that look like? In Isaiah 40, 10 to 13, it describes God as a shepherd. He says, yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power, and He will rule with a powerful arm. See, He brings His reward with Him when He comes. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs on His arm, in His arms, holding them close to His heart, and He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Who else has held the oceans in His hand? Who has measured off the heavens with His fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or the weight of the mountains and the hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give Him advice and teach Him? It's a fascinating piece of scripture because it starts off talking about the power of God. It ends off by telling us that He's measured the oceans in His hand and He's weighed everything, that He has got all the knowledge and the wisdom and the insight. He doesn't ask anyone for advice. And in the middle of that, again like a sandwich, He's not just all-powerful and all-knowing. He's a gentle shepherd. That's who he is. And yes, he has power and he has strength and he has knowledge. And he is big. So big that he can weigh the oceans in the palm of his hands and measure them. And yet he feeds his flock like a shepherd. He carries the lambs in his arms. And he holds them close to his heart. And he will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. He is a shepherd. He is a shepherd that wants to take care of his flock. That scripture in Hebrews 13 that we read earlier, I took a little part out when I read it. It says, now by the God of peace, who brought you up from the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, who made a new covenant with us in his blood. The great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with all that you need for doing his will. Can we just see Psalm 23 here in Hebrews? If the Lord is my shepherd, then I will have all that I need. If I can surrender my life to him, if I can follow him, if I can declare the Lord forever, for as long as I live, then he will produce in me through his power every good thing that is needed to please him, to live a godly life. So first thought, he's a good shepherd. He's a shepherd who wants to lead you and wants to direct you. The problem is that I need to behave like a sheep. And sometimes a little bit less than the sheep, because the scripture also says that we like sheep have all gone astray. We follow our own head. But I've got to stay in that space of being a sheep. And I want to look in closing just quickly, what is a sheep look like that follows Jesus? Not the wayward one, not the 90. We want to be the 99 that he leaves behind to go and find the 100. The 100 is the 100th. That's the one who's gone astray. You see, we have to go to listen to his voice. If he is your shepherd and you are a sheep, then you need to listen to his voice. And if you want to go out from this place and over the next few weeks, you want to shout out over every circumstance and over every situation and declare this truth everywhere you go, I have all that I need. You need to be a lamb that follows the voice of the shepherd. I said earlier that it's sometimes easy when we get away. Maybe we are on a break somewhere and we're not part of the normal things of life. Then it's a little bit easier sometimes to hear his voice. A little bit easier to be connected to our shepherd. But it's so easy that when we walk out of this place this morning and we step out into this afternoon and the emails begin to come in and we begin to prepare for tomorrow's meetings, that we get caught up in that noise. And it becomes difficult to hear his voice. What voices is leading you or maybe driving you? And you miss the voice of the shepherd. And you wonder why the blessings are missing. Blessings are missing because he's not your shepherd. You are not declaring with all of your life, the Lord, forever. In John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. It's as simple as that. In every moment, we've got to be careful that we listen to his voice. Follow his direction. Story I told earlier, a grandfather heard the voice of the shepherd to say, yes, it's okay for a 10-year-old boy to get out of the car and go speak to a lady. He had to conquer his own fears, the voice of fear, the voice of prim and proper society. That's not acceptable. You can't do that. All these different voices probably wrestled in his head. Ultimately, he heard the voice of the shepherd. And he himself became a shepherd that guided his grandson because he responded to the voice of the good shepherd. We've got to train our hearts. I'm going to trust in this next season as we repeat this phrase over and over, the Lord forever, that you will train your heart to follow His voice, to recognize His voice. How do we do that? By listening to Him, by reading His Word. Because as we read the Word, we hear His voice. And then when we get to a situation, it's easy to recognize His voice because it sounded just like Him. I normally tell this story when we talk about the baptism and the Holy Spirit. I dramatize it a little bit. So they are up in the upper room. They are afraid. They're listening to the voice of fear. They are hiding away. They are confused. They don't know what's happening. And suddenly there's a knock on the door. That's a dramatization version. And Peter opens the door and the Holy Spirit is there. And the Holy Spirit comes in and it's chaos. Am I right? There's fire everywhere. There's people talking in strange languages. There's weird things happening. Why did Peter open the door? Because he recognized the Holy Spirit. How did he recognize the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit had not been poured out yet. He recognized Him because He looked just like Jesus. Isn't that what Jesus said? The Holy Spirit will take from what is mine and He will make it known unto you. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations and we struggle to hear the voice of God. It's not because God's not speaking. It's because we don't know the voice of the shepherd. It's time to dust off the Bible. We heard the other day that in the grade 7 class, and now I've got my numbers slightly mixed up, but in a group of 10 or 12, there was one person who had a Bible. It's wonderful to have it on your phone. It's great. But then put your phone in airplane mode so that the WhatsApps don't come through. We've got to dust off the Bible so that we can read the Word and hear His voice so that when we get to a situation, we can recognize His voice and He can lead us to have all that we need. The green pastures and the calm fields, etc., etc. And we will look at that in a moment. Over the weeks to come. Follow His leading. Listen to His voice. The next step is to respond to that. Don't just hear Him. Do it. Be like that 10-year-old boy who said, I'm hearing God say that I should get out and go tell that lady that Jesus loves her. He did not just hear the voice of God. He responded to that. He allowed Jesus to lead him, and he took a step. You see, sheep are notorious for being silly, finding themselves in bushes and thickets, finding themselves in the wrong places. I found this interesting video of sheep. They're crossing a road, and there's cars parked on both sides, and now these sheep are just running across the road. So the cars have obviously stopped. They're going, and about the fourth sheep or third or fourth sheep, for some reason, in the middle of the road, just jumps as if it's jumping over something. Guess what every other sheep after that does? They just jump over this imaginary thing. That's what we do as sheep. That's why we need the shepherd to actually guide us and lead us, because without him, we are lost. In Psalm 23, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks, He guides me along the right paths. That's who He is. That's what He does. But I've got to make a decision to respond to that. You see, if I declare the Lord forever, it means that I become obedient to His word. I know His voice. I know what he says, but I also become obedient and I actually do that. I allow him to be my shepherd and to lead me because he knows the best path for me. Second last one. Third last one. There's five. I trust in his care. I trust in his care. I've got to be a lamb that is reliant upon the shepherd. John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for you. Why would he not intervene in your circumstance right now? Why would he abandon you now if he's already given his life for you? He's the good shepherd who laid down his life for you. And he invites you to trust him, to allow him to bring the blessing and the favor that he has for you. You've got to learn to rest in his care. A lamb is not worried about where the food would be. If you go and read a little bit about sheep, sheep are not very good at finding their own food. They will stay in the same piece of land area and they will eat everything and then it will be gone and then they won't know what to do. That's why they rely on the shepherd to guide them and to lead them. Your shepherd cares for you. Won't you rely on him to provide all that you need? You've got to stay close to the flock. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the church. You've got to stay close to the flock. You see, if you are the one that wanders off, you lose the protection of the herd. The shepherd is leading the herd. It's your responsibility to stay with the herd and to be there, and to be guided. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Stay connected to the body. It's how you stay a lamb, you stay a sheep, so that he can be your shepherd. And the last one, allow for his correction. You see, he has a rod and a staff, and it's there to bring me comfort and protection. It's also there to guide me. Because as sheep, we have this tendency to stray. And we have to allow him to bring correction in our lives. Proverbs 3, my child, do not reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those that he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. The last 2 weeks from Thessalonians, we've got to allow God to direct our hearts into his love and to direct us into the perseverance of Christ. We've got to allow him to be our shepherd. And sometimes he's taking a road that we think we know better, or we see something shining somewhere. Or maybe one of the lambs takes a detour and I just follow after him. And eventually we are both lost. You see, to be like a sheep, a lamb, I've got to humbly accept the correction and the realignment when God brings it. And over the next season, we want to spend less time on the realignment and we want to look at what God has promised that he would give us. But it will always be from this foundation. A foundation that says, the Lord, forever. 1 Peter 2, verse 25, it says, once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd. So we are still sheep. We were sheep that wandered away. Now we are sheep that have returned to the shepherd, the guardian of our souls. We've got to listen to his voice. We've got to follow his leading. We've got to trust in his care. Stay close to the flock and allow him to correct us. And if we do that, then in essence we are saying the Lord, forever. And if we declare with our lives the Lord, forever, then we have those two slices of bread. It keeps the blessing of God together. Keeps the blessing of God in the appropriate place so that the blessing of God can come into my life. And we can declare, I have all that I need. Let's close our eyes. Father, over the next season, we want to ask that you would remind us that you are a good shepherd. That you are a shepherd who wants to lead us into your blessing and into your favor and into your kindness, into your compassion. Father, would you remind us that those things are not by things that we do, but it is solely because of who you are. It's by your divine power that you have given us everything that we need to live a godly life. It is you that produce within us the things that please you. So, Father, over this next season, as we are excited to hear about the good things that you have for us, would you draw us back constantly to this place where we understand that it comes from you. And it is because we listen to your voice. And it is because we follow your instruction. It's because we know that you are a shepherd that cares. It's because we rely on you. And it is because we allow you to correct us. And Father, even as we speak about your favor and your blessing, our prayer is that you would direct our hearts and correct our hearts where need be, so that we will live these two phrases in harmony. The Lord forever, and I have all that I need. I want to ask that you look for a moment just there with your eyes closed. Just look inside your life and look for the barren patches. The grass that's been eaten and eaten and the ground has been trampled and there's nothing left to eat. And I encourage you to lift up your eyes and to see the shepherd leading you to a new spot. God, we want to align ourselves with the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. We want to stop being big sheep that have almost become pigs playing in the same dirt. We want to follow after you. God, some of us is caught in a bush. We've wandered off. We've lost connection with the flock. We can't hear your voice anymore. Would you, in your grace, Jesus, do what you promised? Come and find the one lost sheep and bring it back to the flock. Would you restore us in that way? Father, I declare over this congregation, those who attend, those who watch online, I have all that I need. May these words echo through our minds and through our spirits. May they live in our hearts. May they jump up when we are confronted with difficult situations. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Father, we trust you to lead us and to guide us in this season. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.